It probably goes without saying that I stand in front of a distracted crowd together. I can see many of you are wearing clothes of intercession and prayer for a big game that will happen later. So I think what I'd like to do is to try to zero in your attention in this moment and in this space by telling a story. This story is based on a story that is found in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So settle back and listen in to what happened on an amazing day. Everything was about to change, and I was clueless. It makes me laugh. It all started with a long night. My brother Andrew and I had fished the whole night without catching one fish. Most nights weren't like that. We had big catches and little catches, but rarely did we come in empty. We had thrown nets all night, moving the boats through the water like we always did, but each time we drew them back, nothing. My muscles always ache more after a night of hard labor with nothing to show for it. The sun had risen now, and our nets would be easily avoided by the fish, so we pulled in. And that bright sun did nothing to lift the heavy disappointment off my shoulders. I felt powerless. We were good fishermen. There should be fish. We needed to clean and repair the nets, and we'd try again tonight. Our fishing partners, James and John, who were with us, were pretty short-tempered, more than usual. They were grumbling and angry and ready to pick a fight. After a hot argument about who was cleaning the nets and who was repairing the nets, Andrew and I decided to put in up the shore a little ways away from their boat and began to work on our nets alone. I'd been working for about an hour when a crowd moved on to the shore. There was a man speaking, and they were all huddled around him to hear what he was saying. Now, usually, teaching is done in the synagogue, and I was a little annoyed at the hubbub and the noise until I realized that the teacher was Jesus of Nazareth. Rumors had been flying about him. People said he not only talked about the law and Yahweh in fresh ways, but that he also did miracles. I looked down the shore to see if James and John had noticed the crowd, but John had just kicked some sand at James, and it looked like they might come to a full fist fight. I shook my head, turned, and looked back to Jesus. He seemed to be heading toward me. The crowd was large. It must have come from several villages. I did recognize some people, but I didn't know very many. People were pressing around him so tightly that I couldn't hear a word he was saying. And suddenly, he was right in front of me. "I need your boat." It was the first time I'd ever heard his voice. And it was the kind of voice that makes everything else go quiet. I wanted to hear more. So I invited him into the boat. Andrew and I hauled the nets into the boat too, and he told me to push out from the shore a ways. And then he began to speak. It was a great strategy. The crowd settled in on the beach, and his voice carried over the waters instead of getting lost in the crush. As I worked on the nets, I listened. He told a lot of stories, and he answered questions that the crowd shouted out to him. He talked about the Torah and the prophets and the writings as though he were the author, as though he knew what God had meant, as though he were there when they were written. Now, I'm just a fisherman. I was not chosen in school to go on to become the disciple of any rabbi. But something inside me seemed to open. My heart and my mind felt like they were on fire. so much to think about, so much to change. He taught all morning, and when it was time for the noon meal, he dismissed the crowds to go and eat. I was a little sad. It was over. I picked up the oars to move us back to shore, and then he caught me completely off guard. Put out into deeper water and let down your nets for a catch. I think just a few hours earlier, I would have laughed at him and told him to stick to being a rabbi. But now, I wouldn't have dreamed of refusing him. Yeah, the nets are going to be empty, and I knew there were no fish out there. But it didn't matter. A few more moments with him would be worth a few net tosses. I said, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." As I said it, I realized that really I would do whatever he asked. He was unlike anyone I'd ever met. He was worth obeying. Andrew sat silent as I moved out from shore to the spot where we had fished just before dawn. I looked to the shore, and now James and John were standing side by side watching. Their hands shielded their eyes from the glare of the noonday sun. "They must think I'm crazy," I thought. I tossed the net out as I had done hundreds of times. I began to move the boat, and then suddenly something went wrong. The net sank fast with incredible weight. I scrambled to hold onto it, almost pitching over the side of the boat. There were fish, hundreds of fish. There were too many fish. I'd never seen this many fish for help. I yelled, "Help, help!" Andrew grabbed the net, and James and John, like lightning, launched their boat. We began to draw in the catch, emptying it to both of our boats, and the fish kept coming. It was like they were practically leaping into our boat. And the boats, they were sinking lower and lower in the water. I could not make sense of what was happening. And then I heard it. Laughter. Jesus' face was lit up like the noonday sun with delight. His eyes danced and he laughed with his whole body. And I couldn't help it. I started laughing too. And then Andrew did, and James and John, all five of us, laughing and paddling as best we could to shallow water where we could hop out and drag the catch into shore. Jesus waded to shore and stood waiting for us. As soon as the boats touched sand, it was like I came to my senses. This was impossible. There were no fish, and now there were all the fish in the sea. Only God could do this, and I felt terror. I was a stubborn, selfish man who seldom thought of others. I did not deserve this. I deserved empty nets. My knees buckled, and I dropped in front of him. "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." I looked down at the sand to hide the tears of shame and fear that began to come down my face. Then Jesus knelt down with me. He lifted my head so that I looked right into his face. That face was so full of power and delight. "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And that was it. The whole world changed for all four of us. That ordinary, disappointing morning became the first day I had the power to truly live. Thank you, Jesus, for no more deserving and no more empty nets. That day did mark the beginning of a new life for those fishermen. But more than that, it was the beginning of a new community that you and I are sitting in today. The power that flowed from that moment into the lives of those men changed them, and it changed us, and it changed the world. Here at Salem, we're exploring this month what it means to have power in places that we currently feel powerless. The habits we want to break, the goals we want to achieve, but we seem unable to live them out. What does it look like to find the power to become what God is calling us to be, even in our most powerless places? As we look at this moment for Simon, I think there are some things we can learn from him about receiving the kind of empowerment he and those other three disciples received. And actually, to start that discussion, I want to look at the Cliff Notes version of this story. We're going to find it in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. So if you've got your Bible with you, go ahead and open it up. We will have it on the screen up here. If you do want a Bible, we do have them back on the bookshelf there, so help yourself. So remember that Luke is the expanded version of what's going on in Mark. So now we're just going to focus in and see where Mark starts this story. So Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Oh, by the way, if you have I always forget to say it's the phone app, you know, the Bible app, feel free to use that. We all know you won't be texting, so pull it out. Mark 1, 14. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. So again, Mark is showing in brief what Luke has kind of expanded for us. And what Mark does here that is so great is he gives us this outline of Jesus' teachings, kind of the core of Jesus' message in these almost one-word summaries. So his outline, Mark's outline or summary of the teachings of Jesus, I believe reveals a lot about what was happening for Peter in that story we started with. There's a parallel between what Jesus is preaching and what happens in Peter's life. And I think that that incredible power that flowed to Peter was part of embracing this message. So offer that to you this morning in your quest. So his message, Jesus, that is, begins with the kingdom of God is near. We know that Jesus brought the kingdom of God with him. Wherever Jesus was, the kingdom of God was close. The kingdom of God is the space and the time where the way God designed things to be actually happens. And we see it in the Gospels. We see it when Jesus' teaching begins to bring deep understanding to people's lives. We see the kingdom when Jesus heals people so that their bodies actually function as they were designed to function. And we see it when Jesus casts out demons, these direct agents of evil, and sets people free from their power. So we see the kingdom of God today. When justice comes for victims, when people without access to clean water receive a community well, when racism is replaced with learning and love, when people work together sacrificially to help others have a better life, and when people who don't know Jesus come into a soul-saving relationship with him. These are all outbreaks of the kingdom of God. Jesus' core message starts with us seeing the kingdom's work around us. We need to learn to see more than what just is in our world. But we need to learn to see what God intended there to be. That vision of how the world is supposed to be, the ability to see what God sees, is the beginning of true power. Developing the ability to see what God sees is a lifelong skill training. But I want to tell you, when you see it, it brings such energy and such clarity. When we can see what God wants to do, this kind of clarity has launched transformational movements like the civil rights movement. It has started organizations like World Vision and the International Justice Mission. It has led people to share their faith with a coworker. It has caused people to live their lives differently than the culture around them so that they can serve the poor. If you are seeking God's power in some way, maybe begin today by asking Him to help you see what He sees. Ask Him to bring the kingdom of God near so you can catch a glimpse of what He is up to in whatever places you feel powerless. Ask Him to show you what His will is, and just get ready. Get ready to see more than nets full of fish. Something much bigger, like people brought into life in Jesus' new community. The next summary statement of Jesus' message is repent. Notice how before Simon receives the power to be the apostle Peter, he is on his knees broken. He knows himself in a way he didn't moments before. He knows how shattered he is, how God should not pick him, pick anybody else, but not him. He knows that the power that is flowing toward him is too big and he is unworthy of it. And he knows he can't do this unless God actually changes him to receive that power. He is in a place of tear-filled humility and profound self-awareness. In his surrendered and empty place, Simon can actually hear Jesus call him to his true self. Simon is not a fisherman. He is a catcher of people. And for us too, the power of God flows into repentance. The power of God rushes into humility and self-awareness. Once we see what God sees in our powerless place, next we must see ourselves in all of our weakness and our brokenness. We need to see how we have been a part of the problem before we can become part of the solution. So here's your next prayer. Just ask God what you need to repent from. What do you need to turn away from in this powerless place you're stuck in? What is stealing the life from you that God wants to release in you? Repent of a smaller life than the one God sees. Jesus wants to call you, and we hear his call best on our knees. The final summary in Jesus' message is that we should believe. The word translated believe in the Greek is pistuo. This word for believe has other words associated with it, like embrace, trust, rest on, profess, follow, and become. You might notice that pistuo is not a word that can just stay inside us. It insists on action and devotion. In our English language, we can believe something, but not be changed by it or even called to do anything about it. Belief can remain in our skin and never make its way out into the world. But pistuo just can't. You have to act. You have to change. You have to become something different. Pistuo starts a journey that insists on something happening. Peter doesn't just believe something hidden in his heart. He pistuos and he leaves behind everything, including the best that his previous career offered him, and became a follower of Jesus. So I wonder, in your place of powerlessness, what might happen if you didn't just believe God's call to you, but if you pistuoed? What might you do next? What might you leave behind? Where might you go? What I know is that pistuo is one of those never be the same kind of words in our lives. It marks the day when everything changes. It is a word loaded with the power of God. And it is the call for you and for I and for this whole community today. Salem Covenant Church, the kingdom of God is near. See it. Repent. And pistuo, following Jesus into a new day. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for this powerful story of transformation, that we reap the benefits from, that power has traveled over thousands of years and touches us today. Lord God, hear us, that we want to follow you in all the areas of our lives, and especially in the ones today that leave us feeling helpless. Lord Jesus, give us the strength and the vision to see that the kingdom of God is near. Lord, give us the wisdom, the awareness, and the humility to repent. And Father God, fill us. Let your spirit rise up within us as we pistuo what you have said to us and we step out into the new day you are giving us. Thank you, Jesus. Do it for our good and for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.